Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here today. Today, we're going to be talking about meditation, stress, just how is your day going, as we'd say. And everyone says, oh, I'm so busy, I can't fit everything in. Or others will say, you know, I just plain gave up. I just can't get anything done, and I just don't know what I'm going to do. And better yet, we have those who are on the edge. We say they're getting very sick. Addictions are running high. Mental health has been off the wall these days. And we look at it and more chronic illness all around. So what is the quick fix? What is the pill to take? What is the next course to take? Or maybe you just need to go on another retreat in the mountains. Is that really the answer? Today my guest is Michel Pascal, and his book is Meditation for Daily Stress, 10 Practices for Immediate Well-Being. And I really think it's great to talk about this because the word meditation, the word stress, these are both two words that have really come into focus and vogue these past two decades. If you look back in history, the word stress wasn't even used when I grew up in the 70s and the 60s. So let's talk about it today. Michel, thank you so much for joining us today. It's such a pleasure to have you with us.
I am so happy, Dr. Jeanette, to be in your show. Thank you so much for what you do. I have listened and watched your website. Congratulations. In our world, we need hope. We need a good energy. And I see every day you send a good energy to all the people who follow you. So congratulations for what you do.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I really appreciate it. You know, I think, Michel, on this show, what we tried to say is we tried to talk around the topic because so many are saying, oh, I'm doing great. I meditate every day. But then they get in their car and they're crying. Or they get it to work and they're not getting their stuff done. Or they come home and they feel like they just can't get up for another day. I think we forget and we say there are good days, there are in-between days, and there are not so good days. But yet everybody wants to share the happy, light, 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 go lucky. But when things are really tough, nobody wants to share that to be able to help release and walk through it. You know, I find so many spiritual people this day that are saying, we're going to just sit down and be present and it will go away. And that really doesn't go away, but it's your perception on it that goes or shifts or transforms. So let's today talk about what is the word meditation in the first place?
I mean, everyone, you, me, every people who listen your show, we can be rich. We can be poor, we can be the president of Google, and I teach for Google. We can be a prisoner in jail, I teach for prisoners in jail. We can be a student in Harvard, I teach for Harvard and many universities. We can be a child. What we need in our life every day, we need to be more calm. Because everyone we know that when we are stressed, we are dissenter. When we are stressed, we are tired. When we are stressed, we are unhappy, we complain. So everyone can feel that when we are stressed, there is no hope. And it's a neurochemical addiction. Every emotion, we know that in neuroscience, every emotion, it's an addiction. So if you are stressed today, you will be more stressed in 1 week, in 2 years, in 10 years. So everyone we know, we must be more calm. Because when we are more calm, we have more energy, we are more active, we boost our immune system, we are happy, we enjoy every minute of the life that we have together.
You know, I think we find also, too, is that when we are, as we say, off the edge and stressed or hanging on the end, we really tend to spew. We tend to grab at people for a rescue. We tend to grab at something to hold us on or keep us going. Or we tend to really lash out. We feel like because we want to unload all that we feel is coming on us from the outside, when really what we want to say is, I just need a rest, and I'm just not adapting, or I'm not looking at things correctly. I think so, like meditation, I see it as just taking off that edge so those other things don't occur. We don't need to say we need a drink to be able to bring us down. We don't need pills to be able to relax us, or we don't need to scream at our kids and then turn around and feel better, right?
It's very true what you say. Me, I work with a psychiatric doctor, for example, and I will be invited at the big summit in Tucson by Professor Gary Schwartz. We know that any pills can make us more happy and change our emotions. A pill can stabilize an imbalance in the brain. But after the effect of the pills, we crash again, and it's like that. So the only thing that we need, it's not if the question, it's not if we need to be more calm, if we need to meditate. Everyone, we know that now in this world. The question is how to meditate. How can I be more calm immediately with no effort? And most of the time, we are educated with the wrong perception of meditation, with a cliché of the meditation. And when I teach for children and I ask to a child, what does it mean to meditate? Immediately he sits down like a lotus and he says, it's a cliché, it's a cliché. And first, we don't do that in a monastery. Me, it was my life before to be in America. I live in a monastery in Himalayas. A monastic life, it's extremely active. I know people, they dream about monastery in Himalayas. They think that we do nothing. We are in contemplation all the time. It's not true at all. It's a cliché, or if you spend a few weeks in a monastery in retreat, you have the cliché because you don't live inside the monastery every day. So a monastic life, it's extremely intense, it's a spiritual fight, it's a very, very active life. So what we learn in a monastery, we learn not the cliché of the meditation that we have in America, not the blablatation. We learn the etymology of the word meditate. Meditate in Tibetan language means I train my mind. I train my mind in my daily life to be more present, to be more happy, to be more intelligent. How can I be more present, more intelligent, more happy if I am more calm? How can I be more calm in my life if I train my mind not outside of the stress, as we see in the cliché of the meditation, in the landscape, in a quiet room? Because when we go back to our daily life, we are stressed again. Where is my mantra? Where is my practice when I go back the Monday morning in my job and I am stressed again in the traffic? And I am stressed again with my coworkers. So we see the cliché of meditation, it's totally unadapted to our world. But to meditate exactly at the pure source of the spirituality, exactly with the etymology of meditate, we train our mind in our daily life. We train our mind at the workplace, in the traffic, when we walk in the street, when we talk to a friend, when we are with our wife, with our families, we train our mind every minute of our life.
You know, it's interesting. So many times people will say, they close their eyes for a minute and they just kind of, you look at them and you go, what are you doing, checking out? And really what they're doing in reality is they're resetting. They were in a place their energy was at a point where they were not happy with it, and they just reset themselves. You know, we think about this, the old adage, before you yell and scream at your kids, count to 10. You know, it's the time to, quote, reset. And we don't recognize that sometimes when something happens and we immediately, our reactions are to spew or to go about with anger or to put up hostility or whatever and say something that you shouldn't have said, it really was an inadvertent way of getting your point out, but you never even got your point out, which, as you said, the same thing will keep coming back. So if you're saying that, you know, my husband never cleans up the bedroom. Oh, I have this one all the time. He never cleans up, and he leaves his mess everywhere he goes. And I always say, you know, okay, I'm going to yell at him about it. And then I said, oh, I'm not going to yell about it because that's the way he's choosing, and that's his choice. So I kind of had to disconnect from that. Or we look at the kids and we say, don't go out in the front yard. Well, instead of saying don't go out in the front yard, we're saying, you know, I really would feel better if you'd play in the backyard so I can keep an eye on you. And if you want to go out in the front, I'll go out with you later for protection and love. So we need to look at the difference behind it. And I think sometimes in meditation, that extra noise goes away. And then we can maybe hear what we're trying to say and then maybe approach the situation in another concise manner to get the job done, to go through your day to see what is going on, correct?
It's exactly that. I mean, there is not a time to be stressed and a time to be quiet. Like, there is not a time to breathe and another time to don't breathe. Peace, it's like oxygen. It's anytime, anywhere. And the key is to be in peace, to be calm in our daily stress. It is the reason why if you go in holidays, for example, it's wonderful. But when you go back to our job, we know after 2 days, one day, right, you lose your tan. You lose the benefit of your holidays because we are in the stressful environment. Why? We have this sort of depression. And you know, for example, that in America, Monday morning, it's the highest rate of suicide after the weekend. Why? Because we are educated with a wrong perception of meditation. We are educated with a cliché at the opposite of the etymology of meditation. Because most of time, people who teach meditation, they never live in a monastery. So it's a thing to talk about spirituality. It's wonderful. It's another thing when we have a monastic life. It's very, very different.
And I think sometimes when we say about, you say about the monastic life, it's also, too, about being present in your life and then not needing all of these worldly things that we have to have. So do we say we want to meditate because we want abundance, because our car and the driveway, well, we need one more for your kid, you know? Or we think about, it's really about being abundant in life. I was sharing with you before the show about being the spring equinox, and I got up. Something woke me up 20 minutes just before it would be the time for it. And I went outside and listened to all of the birds in the dark, how they were all waking up. And how, and it was great how, the, you know, spring meets your day and how you welcome your day versus, you know, something else that might just not be you're running because you have to do. Sometimes it's just, how can you reset that, right?
Yes, the question is how, like you say, doctor, how can I rediscover spring today? How can I rediscover that every morning, every day, it's not one more day, it's one more chance. One more chance to train my mind, to be more calm. And more we are calm, more we are active. More we are calm, more we upgrade our capacities in the brain. For example, if we must be very productive in our job. What we need, if we need to train our brain to synthesize a lot of information, to take a decision or to have intuition. What we need to be more calm. More we are calm, more we have energy. More we are calm, more we are concentrated. So the main question, for me, it's not if we need to be more calm. There is no debate. Everyone, we know that. Everyone. No, the main question is, how can I be more calm in my daily life without effort? Because, for example, we can't say to a manager at Google, a person who works 15 hours per day in a big company, it can be Google, it can be another company, we can't say to this person, oh, my friend, you have work all the day, your brain is running all time, now take a seat, take a deep breath and make a practice. We see it's not serious. It doesn't work. It's a fantasy. Mm-hmm. In theory, it's beautiful, but really it doesn't work. So it is the reason why meditation for daily stress, it's a sort of revolution. Because we go at the source of the etymology of meditation. We don't go in the cliché of the meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Meditation for daily stress means I don't lose time. I use my time. I train my mind when I am at my workplace today. For example, I take my car. I am in the traffic during a few minutes, during maybe 1 hour. How can I use this time to train my mind to recycle the noises and the stressful environment? I am in my workplace. Today I have a meeting with a coworker. This person is so stressed, or my manager wants to fire me. How can I train my mind during this moment to be more calm and to recycle the mental toxins that I receive every day? This is meditation for daily stress. We don't lose time. We use the time. And we rediscover that every day it's a new chance, a new opportunity. Every day it's a new spring, like it's spring today in our life.
Right, because what is probably gets a lot of people hung up is that they, quote, meditate for a reason, a reason to turn this down, a reason to do that, rather than having it as a way of life and a way of being. Because if it's a way of being, you have, as you said, it is who you are, it's how you interact with the world, and it's how you show up in the world. If you do it for a certain situation, there will always be another situation. And sometimes the situation will get bigger or get louder, and sometimes people come back and they say, oh, that meditation stuff, that's not working, because they still have the same problem. Because they're using it as a token. They're using it as a quick fix or as a solution, when really that outside issue is not where the meditation is working. The issue is the meditation is working within you for you. It's not about fixing that outside thing. It's about you in the first place.
Yes, and I think in our world, we receive too much advices. Every day on TV, on radio, on newspaper, every day people come and say, you must be like this, you must do that, you must be... We are tired. We are fed up to receive all time advices. So what we need something simple. We need to be more calm immediately with no effort, no concentration, no blablatation. Just we need to learn how to be more present. So after the question is, how can we be like that? So in meditation for daily stress, we propose 10 practices, very simple, that we can do immediately when we are stuck in the traffic, when we are at the workplace, when we eat in a restaurant, a lot of noises, when there is a drug addiction, when our children are so stressed. How can I feel better immediately inside the stress? Not outside, but inside my daily stress life.
Michelle, can you walk us through an example of one in your book? I'm looking at number four. It's Meditate Like the Sky, and you talk a little bit about visualization and guidance and how you can get through that. And then there's a few exercises that actually help you to be able to, as you say.
I can propose to you, Doctor, to make a practice in 1 minute together, and for all the people
yes.
who listen your show. So in 1 minute, your question is, in 1 minute, how can we be more calm in our daily
yes.
life? I will guide with you just 1 minute. So I snap 3 times with my fingers and just we close our eyes. We are sitting down like a mountain. We do nothing. Just we are sitting down, but like a mountain. If we have some thought in our mind, we do nothing. Thoughts are like clouds in the sky. They move. It's like waves on the ocean. They move. But when we are sitting down face to our computer, like a mountain, we can breathe mentally the stability of the mountain. And we can exhale the stability of the mountain in all our body. So we visualize a mountain. We are sitting down like a mountain. We see the stability of the mountain. We breathe in mentally the stability. We keep our breath. We keep the stability. And we exhale. The stability, the eternity of the mountain in all our body. And immediately, without effort, we feel better. When we meditate like a mountain, we become more stable. More calm, like a mountain. And we open our eyes, and we feel more calm around us. The sensations are more real. The light, the color. If you touch your fingers, the sensation is more real. Because when we are more calm, all the perception, all the sensations are more developed. And the practice of the mountain, it's the first practice that I learned in my monastery. And I remember I asked to my Rinpoche, how can I start? What is a meditation?
Mm-hmm.
And I never forget his answer. He said, Michelle, there is no meditation. No, just sit down, but like a mountain. So meditation for daily stress works exactly like that. We arrive, you talk about your computer this morning.
Right.
We can be in the traffic, we can be in a Starbucks. How can I be like a mountain in the restroom?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we use any situations of the life to be more calm.
Yes, you know, I think sometimes people believe that the world around them is what affects them, and they forget who they are. There's a lot of people now who are saying, I don't know who I am anymore, because they've tended to define themselves by that outside source. By their work, their job, their family, their husbands, whatever. And they haven't really found that sense. And I think sometimes when you take the time to be more calm, to let some of that just fall away, you can find more of who you are or who you want to be or who you feel like you've lost. It's almost like the other day I was trying to clean out some closets, and I'm like, all I'm doing is moving this stuff around. It just needs to go. And the word go, and it was like, how many boxes do I have in my closet? And it's all going in and it goes out, you know. So it's about just being able to be a little bit lighter and freer is really about being calm. Because sometimes you can be calm in the face of chaos, but it also dispels a lot of that chaos around you. When you have one person and everybody's screaming and yelling, if you turn around and put one person just sitting in the chair and they're calm, eventually all of those people who are all around will stop and wonder, hey, what's that guy smoking or something? What's that guy doing? You know, I want a little piece of that. And that's what they eventually will draw themselves to, correct?
It's funny what you say, Doctor, because I remember one day I teach for manager at Google, and one of the managers, she was so stressed. So she said, Michelle, how can you help me to be less stressed immediately? And I said to her, come with me in Times Square. She said, you are crazy, Times Square in New York. This is the worst place, the most stressful.
Right.
I said, yes, because if in Times Square, you can be sitting down like a mountain. You will be sitting down like a mountain at Google, anytime, anywhere. So more the world is stressful, more our coworkers are so stressed, more we are in a difficult situation, better it is to learn how to recycle, to go back to our soul. More there is dark, more there is light. We know that in science. It's evident to say that. So me, I love to practice meditation for myself in the most stressful places. I love to practice meditation on the freeway at the rush hour. It's beautiful. Because to train our mind to be more calm in difficulty, after when you go back to your home, immediately you are more calm with your family, with your friends.
Yes.
So the question is not if we need to be more calm. Everyone, we know that now. The question is, how can I be more calm? So again, if we train our brain outside of the stress, when we go back to the daily life, it's worse in reality because we create a depression in the neurochemical system because the brain is educated to think, oh, I can be calm when I practice my mindfulness, but when I go back to my job, I will be stressed again 1 hour after. So it is a reason why to practice outside, in reality, it's not good. We must to practice inside our daily life.
Yeah. And I think also, too, when others are around you and you are more calm even in the face of all of this, I mean, if you get one coworker that's starting to practice this, you will find that it will turn the volume down in the office and things will not be as chaotic because they will want to say, hey, I've been yelling and screaming and you're not buying into my yelling and screaming. And, well, no, I'm not. And then they will either escalate or they will go away, you know.
Every emotion, it's contagious. So exactly as you say, when I give an example. I remember one day I teach for one of the president of a big company in America. And she said, oh, Michelle, every morning I am so stressed to do my job and all my team is so stressed.
Yeah.
And after a few days, just a few days, she has practiced how to be sit down like a mountain at the workplace. Few days after, she said, all my team is more quiet because me, I am more quiet.
Right.
Every emotion is contagious because every emotion is energy. All these energies that I say to you, it's not spiritual, it's science. So all these energies. So when we are sitting down like a mountain, we diffuse, for example, the energy of the mountain in all our office and at home. It's like if you have essential oil, you diffuse a perfume, the perfume of the peace that you are really inside you.
Yes, and I think it really resonates outward and it will really change. I mean, when we say, well, we want to make a change in the world, the change has to be within ourselves first because then it will resonate out. If you look at a lot of chaos, chaos will just breed chaos until it either burns itself out or decides to quit. But if you're looking at peace, peace will eventually start to just, it just kind of like melts, I find. It just tries to, it just really transforms people around. And those that don't want a piece of it, they can go on their way. So a lot of times now we're talking about what's been going on in people's lives. And they say, my friends are leaving, my husband's leaving, and they're creating this chaos and this fight. And it's like, but maybe that was just the best. Just see how you can resonate and be calm within yourself. And let things just fall away that don't need to be there anymore. I think we hold on too tightly sometimes to our baggage, to our position, to our noise, you know, to our big mouths, you know. I have to be louder so I can get something done, and when really it's quite the opposite, right?
Yes, but for example, as you said, Doctor, when someone say my husband leaves me, or when I am fired in my job, for example, what can I do? What I need first, before anything, before to take a decision or to find a solution, I need to be more calm immediately.
Right.
And I can be fired from my job, but if I am calm, I can find easily a new job. I can rebuild a new relation, maybe with a new husband, or to realize that in my relationship, I can create a better relation. So, in any cases in this world, and I am very optimist, we need to be more calm because everyone, we know, we feel that we can't keep going on like that.
Right,
it's not
right.
possible to be more and more stressed. In America, 80% of people in America, we are close to burnout. We have an amazing high level of stress. So in America, in the same time, we need to be more active. We need to be productive. So what we need, if we need to be productive, if we want to build a good relation in our family, if we want to rediscover spring, as you say this morning,
right.
we need to be more calm in our daily life. How can we be more calm? If we train our mind in our daily stress situation every day.
Well, Michelle, it was a pleasure to have you with us. In closing, I think, too, we should also touch on quickly the fact that when there is a lot of noise and yelling and screaming, we don't need to participate. And the answer is we do have our power to shut things off. When there's yelling and screaming on TV, it's like, shut it off. If there's yelling and screaming somewhere, walk away. If there's too much there, just change yourself and go into your space what you need to do. I think sometimes we say, I have to be there. No, you don't have to be there. Or, oh, well, I have to listen to it because everybody else is. Get up and walk out of the room. So it's really about also learning to exercise your power of your inner being, calmness. Because, you know, it's not about other people and it's not about them making it or changing it or whatever. It's you really need to be empowered to be able to make a change. And I think your book, Meditation for Daily Stress, is the first step.
You know, there is a world outside, the noises, the stress, the tension. But we have also a world inside, the peace of a soul. If we talk about theology language, we talk about a soul. If we are atheist, we say, I have a space. If we are neuroscientist, we say that when we are calm, we upgrade. We use some region of the brain that usually we don't use, and it creates a well-being sensation. So the world outside, the world inside. How can we go from the world outside to our world inside? And one of the practices that I teach in this book, it's we meditate like a dolphin.
Yes.
One day I swim on Santa Monica in Los Angeles. I love to swim in the cold ocean. And when I swim, I saw a dolphin just a few meters from me. And he jumps at the surface and he dives in the ocean. And for me, this dolphin became my spiritual teacher. Mm. He was a perfect metaphor to explain the world outside, the surface, the waves of the life, and to dive inside us, to be in the peace of the ocean, in the peace of the fishes, the peace of my soul. So every day we practice like a dolphin. We breathe, we breathe in, we keep, and we dive inside us. And immediately we are in the peace of the ocean, the peace of the world inside.
Michelle, it was such a pleasure to have you with us today to share some insight and some tips and even to do a short, brief meditation with us. I really think our listeners will enjoy that. If you could please share with the listeners about how to find out more information about you, that would be wonderful.
Yes, you can go on my TV online, michellepascal.tv. On michellepascal.tv, you will have every day free, of course, many, many videos. And also, you can subscribe to my newsletter and you'll receive all the conference and also the meditation concert that I give with Deepak Chopra or that I give at the Carnegie Hall, for example, in New York in October. So it's so wonderful to have social media, and people can practice every day with me and my teacher certified.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It was such a pleasure to have you with us here today.
Thank you so much, Doctor. I am so, so happy to be with you.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. Have a wonderful day, and potentially we'll have you on another time when we really need a boost, because I think this year has been a very stressful one for many, and sometimes we need to just talk about this a few times.
Thank you so much, Doctor. Thank you so much from all my heart. Have a nice spring every day.
Yes, I will. Thank you so much. If you'd like to find out more information about Michelle Pascal, again, the book is Meditation for Daily Stress, 10 Practices for Immediate Well-Being. Please do check out the link on the bottom of today's show page, and it will take you directly to his information and website. And it is very important to say you do have the power to make the change. We are not just going through this world and being like sponges and collecting everything that's all around us, and we have to kind of take it. No, we can change, we can be calm, we can be loving, and we can be kind, and it's truly up to us. So thank you so much for joining us today. It's such a pleasure. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Dr. Jeanette.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.